All right. Back in, still in Revelations, kind of interesting study. But today we, and I don't know why they did this, we skip from ending up in chapter 5. We skip chapters 6, 7, and 8 a little bit. But we know last week we left and, you know, the question was about the scroll with the seven seals and who was worthy to open it. And we get into today talking about as the seals were opened and what occurred. And I'll just kind of skim over it until we can get into our part. It says that the first seal was open, and it said that a four living creatures said, "Come, look," and there was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and he was given a crown. The second seal was open, and another horse came out, a fiery red one. The rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. The third seal was open, and it says they came out a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hands. Then he heard what sounded like a voice coming from the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the fourth seal was open, a pale horse came out. Its rider was named Death and Hades, and following close behind him. So they were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine and plague, and the wild beast of the earth. And when the fifth seal was opened, he said he saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" And then it says, each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer, and the number of their fellow servants and brothers were to be killed as they had been, was completed. Then the sixth seal was opened, and there was a great earthquake. And it said the sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair, the whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to earth. And it goes on, and this is John's vision again, but it comes to when the seventh seal was opened. It says, and this is in chapter 8, that another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints, we talked about that last week, went up before God from the angel's hands. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it on the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, and flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. So what do you gather from all of those things? What are we to expect? But today, we're in chapter 9. And the main focus in just in my reading and looking is the seven seals are broken. And I'm going to go ahead and read the first 11 verses. It says, "The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it like the smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. And out of the smoke, locusts came down upon the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. They were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant of the tree, but only those who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were not given power to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. And the agony they suffered was like that of the sting of a scorpion when it strikes a man. During those days, men will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. It says, the locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sounds of their wings were like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails and stings like scorpions, and in their tails they had the power to torment people for 5 months. They had as a king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon and in Greek Apollyon. Okay. In your thoughts of Revelation and things you've studied over the years, what do you really think is going to happen? And when is it going to happen?
Nobody knows when it's going to happen. Some of the signs might be happening now, but the end, the real end, nobody knows that now.
Right.
This will take place after the rapture, after we've been raptured out?
Well, I've heard that, but also it sounds like this is taking place before he comes. Because if I look, you look back in chapters 6 and all, he hasn't come back yet, but he's opening the seven seals are opened, and all of these episodes are taking place. And what struck me has been interesting. Where was it? Well, I've lost it. It's where he talks about those who had already, let's say, gone on before, they came up and asked, you know, I'm sorry, I lost my place. But they were given white robes. So maybe this is the beginning of the rapture, the beginning of the things to come.
And they said there'd be 7 years of that, right? And seven seals, and then they were open, and we start the 7 years of rapture. Would that be it?
And it's 12 chapters. Start with verse 9. I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but it's like white robes thing coming in.
Verse 11. And which chapter was that? Yeah.
Two verses before that.
Yeah, when he opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar of the souls who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. So is this after the aftermath of what might come upon us for maintaining our position with God? You know, we will be persecuted. We're promised that. And then they called out, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge my blood?"
Was it telling us the people that have it all also? Because it says, on those who dwell on the earth, so we're dwelling on the earth. And then, but yet on the other hand, you're talking about those who've gone on before, so.
Well, the ones who have gone on before are asking, how long are you going to wait until you and judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Now, I'm not an expert on this, so I need help.
When did they get the sun on the forehead?
Well, that's another thing. Is we've How many times have you heard that in certain days everybody's going to be marked? You know, you're going to have a mark on your head. I don't see that, but it does. We did talk about that. Because when the locusts come, they're not to bother you if you have the mark on your head. So you will be protected. But why do you think they use or is using, I mean, they use the term locust, but when we think about locusts, we think about coming and destroying rural crops, the land, and everything. Here, they're not to destroy the crops. They are coming to get those who, let's say, don't worship God. And if you're one of those, it tells you they're going to torture you for 5 months. Well, how do you feel? How would you take it if you had something stinging you every day, every moment of your day, to get your attention? You know, that's part of what I'm gathering here is, you know, we've said in the past is we always need to be ready. It could happen now. It could happen tomorrow. But we also are promised that we're not going to be affected by this. We're not going to be tortured. But are we being tortured enough by what is going on? We're not. Is this a problem in churches today? Is we've gotten too complacent, too relaxed, and we're not out, quote, sharing the Word of God to everyone around us. We just kind of draw in and nothing can happen to us. Because also, let me get back over here in chapter 9. When it says in the first verse there, the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and he saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. And that star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. Does that tell us that he's given the key to the gates of hell? Because it says when he opened the abyss, I mean, and I take this to be sort of like a giant volcano erupting. As it tells us, smoke rose from it like a gigantic furnace. And from that, the skies were darkened. But out of the smoke, that's when the locusts came down and given the power, the authority to do what they were told to do.
And the two him, would that not be Satan?
That's a thought. But I would think so. You know, we've been taught early on, was Satan in heaven with God? And was he an angel at one time, but he was so disruptive and whatnot that God removed him and sent him to Hades? But is this same angel now being given the authority to come back and release those who have followed you? And I'm going to punish them.
Well, and also makes us what else, I mean, we talk about it, but hell is a real place.
Mm-hmm.
Because it says it's right there, to the bottomless pit. So, you know, I mean, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's real. Just like we talk about going to heaven, and there is a place.
But do you think any judgments that come on earth are designed by God? Does he always have his plan ready? Okay, you hadn't listened to me. You've gotten to this point, so I'm sending this to you to get your attention. You still don't listen to me, so I'm going to inflict another judgment upon you.
Is it going to be like Job? Like Satan is involved? He let Satan able accomplish things through Job, but he never let Job die, which sometime in the Job wanted to die. And it just said in that too, in here it tells us that people are going to want to die, but you're not going to let them die. Now, you know, that don't make sense, but it will. And you know, Job got to the point, you know, when he was ate up with all that stuff, he wanted to die. So is it, we go from Old Testament to New Testament, it's going to be the same way. He lets a certain thing and then he stops and moves to the next thing.
Very true, because that's what this writer pointed out. I've said before, there are prophecies in the Old Testament that happened or were told, and they're coming true. But there are also situations or events that happened in the Old Testament that strongly resemble what John's vision is here. That did happen to Job. I mean, when you study that, could any one of us go through what Job went through and just still remain strong in the Word of God? But Job, being the man he is, relied upon that to get him through it. That's a very good, valid point. But all of this is, you know, when you think about this, what does it bring to your mind? This writer asks a question. There's two parts here. He says, how do these verses assure you that the devil and his demonic forces are not beyond God's sovereign rule? God is in total control. Do we think sometimes that the devil is in control and God is not?
God lets it go so far.
And then he'll rein us back in. How would you explain these things to a non-Christian? Someone that does not believe the Word of God. And they'll just laugh at you and tell you, you know, this is a fairy tale. It's just a story.
You know, even as Christians, even as strong Christians, it's hard to understand Revelation. Okay? Sometimes it's hard to, like, why did he use forces? All of our whole life we've heard about the lion being, you know, the king of the jungle. Why didn't he use lions and make them different colors instead of using the horses? What is...
Well, the horse pulls the chariot, if you think of it that way. Or a horse pulls the wagon. And we can jump on the wagon and be led, or we cannot. I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, we know that we all have questions about Revelation. I do.
Because, you know,
but don't you think more preachers now are preaching on Revelations, the more prophetic type preachers, they're beginning to understand that it's being revealed to them more than David Jeremiah?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, because, those that are wrong.
Kind of a sum up, and it tells what, like, what we've just been through, what's going to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also tells how beautiful heaven's going to be with the streets of gold, and it sums up.
It's like where we
everything.
Well, we do have the end of good, but we have to look forward to it. And it says in here in the scriptures in 9, it specifically said, and they were not given authority to kill them. So see, that's like, you know, there's so many people that are going to wish they could be dead because of what they're going through to go to heaven, but yet they're going to be here.
Well, there again, that's the big picture of, we all know God's purpose is he wants every human being on the face of earth to hear his word and come under his authority and worship him.
Oliver, do I understand that the 144,000 that are going to be, you know, saved, you know, the Jews, the 12 tribes of the Jews, the 144,000, that their purpose is to go and make sure that every nation, every person has the opportunity to hear before the end of the tribulation? Am I wrong in that?
I don't know. I'll just have to be honest with you. Because that's mentioned in chapter 7, and why they skipped over it,
I
don't know. There's just...
You know, used to the Jehovah's Witnesses said there would be 144,000. Then they got to be more than 144,000.
Yeah.
So they had to change that. But that was just always I thought the 144,000 was to preach on the earth, you know, and to make sure that it went to every nation and every tongue.
That could be true, but I mean, I was trying to read my notes. It's in the scripture, but it doesn't say. It says that some believe the numbers symbolize all the Old Testament saints. Others believe the numbers represent all believers as spiritual Israel. Yet others take the number a literal, not as a literal number of Jews called to faith in Christ and to a unique ministry of witnessing during the end of times. So that would probably fall into that.
So, there's one statement in the book says, only the seal of God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ can seal or rescue the sinner from God's righteous wrath.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand from that those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior will not be punished.
Right. Like these.
Like the others. And that's why we, as Christians, like you said a while ago, we need to witness the people, those who do not know Jesus, and try to win them to the Lord, because if we don't, we might be punished because we didn't. You know?
I mean, that's our place here on earth.
Right.
You know, that's what we're here for. It's not just for me to sit down and read my Bible and study it and just say, I'm protected. I don't care about my family. It's up to them. They're on their own. We should be busy about warning other people. When you, Susan, you mentioned a while ago is, and it talked about it in the verses, in verse 6, during those days men will seek death but will not find it. They will long to die but death will elude them. How bad would it have to get for you to wish for that? You know, Lord, take me away. I can't take anymore. Take me home with you.
I don't know that any of us have ever been in that position, but there are days that you think, you know, if I could just get out of this.
No, but
And everybody probably thinks that for different situations, whether it be an illness,
mm-hmm.
a relationship, you know, if that kind of thing, or
you're tired.
Yeah, and you're just tired. And I mean, we've heard that through the years, people that are senior adults, really, you know, that are just, I'm tired, and I'm ready to go home.
Mama used to lay there in bed, and if I don't go, I just take them home. Why can't I die? And I always say, Mama, it's probably because you're too mean.
It's always a good reason why it's
not my future. Finally, one day she looked at me and she said, well, you don't know, I just might be too sweet. He's leaving me here for that reason.
But are we all, you know?
Yeah.
You're not wanting to see tomorrow because what you might have to face.
Mm-hmm. And they know it's coming, mm-hmm. you know, and they're probably begging, Lord, just take them before they get to it, you know?
But another thing I don't understand is why they stopped at verse 11 and 12. Because it tells us in the first verse that when John, the fifth angel, sounded the trumpet, that it says, just before the angel had sounded, however, John had seen and heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven and warning of three woes to come to those who lived on earth. That was in chapter 8, verse 13. As the fifth trumpet sounded, he recorded in the last verse of chapter 9 that the first woe is past. Two other woes are yet to come. Why don't we know about those right now? You know, if you read the rest of chapter 9, it talks about the sixth angel sounding his trumpet. And it said the sixth angel who had the trumpet, it said, release the four angels who were bound at the great river of Euphrates. It says the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and the day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. It says the number of mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number. But it goes on to talks about the description. Their breastplate were fiery red, dark blue, and yellow. And he says in verse 18, a third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. And the power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads which they could inflict injury. But the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Nor did they repent of their murders, their magic arts, and their sexual immorality or their thefts. My question there is, why was a third of mankind killed? Are those the people who have already denounced God and no chance of them ever repenting? All their chances are gone away, so you're gone. I'm taking you away. But yet still, there remains a group that still haven't repented, that are still doing the worshiping of idols and demons, theft, whatever. Well, why were they not touched by the locusts when they came? Or were they? This gets confusing in my mind. But it says the first woe has passed, two more are coming. Is it to tell us that the first woe that he sent, the first judgment, that it is terrible? It is for real? It is going to happen? Wake up, people. You know? I'm proving to you now, in all earnestly, that what I've been telling you all along, it's going to happen.
Do you think
too, that the rest of mankind, we all know that he is ever present and he knows everything. So do you, and it makes him, would make him sad, but do you know, do you think that he, these people are people that he knows in the future? No, he knows they're never going to change, no matter if, no matter what kind of witnesses we are to those people, that some people are never, ever, ever going to change. Do you think that this is, and you know, people do change. Some people don't change until on their deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I'm not going to take. But then there are some people that they just never change. They're never going to make, even though it's been offered to them and people have witnessed and included them in their lives, has tried to, you know, they're still not going to change.
Period. God knows that.
He exactly. Knows that's what I'm saying. Do you think the people, these are some of the people that he knows, even though it makes them very sad that we've done what we should do and it still never made a difference.
Said
that
at the end of time every knee shall bow.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think he's getting this set of people out of the way so the next set of people can? And he's not a cruel God. He's a loving person.
But they've had a chance.
They've had a chance.
That's right. And so he is, and the scripture, he is ever knowing. And we talk, he knows what we're going to do tomorrow, the next day. He knows our time frame. So in his heart, does he know these people will never stand up and make a difference?
I've got a nephew that his wife, she'll stand up and tell you, I know I'm not going to have it.
Not me. But I mean, but these are things that when we finally, one day we'll have these answers. This is something. But now is it makes you think that sometimes, no matter how hard you try, there's somebody, there are just some people that still
never, going to be something to take
mm-hmm.
I mean,
because I won't read the, meaning, if you go back to and study Matthew chapter 23, it talks, the whole chapter is about woes to different people. Now, is when you mention the word woe, is that I'm sending a blessing to you? Or I feel sorry for you because of what's coming.
And the definition is?
Well, but I rely a lot on these writers. It's to remind us that God's judgment is terrible and sure, and refusing to repent leads to ruin. Yet, Jesus rescues from judgment those who belong to him. That's our promise. Is throughout all of whatever may happen, judgment that comes on earth, we have the assurance that he's going to rescue us from that.
In my Bible, the death of, on that 8:13, it says, whoa, 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 each of the three. The last three trumpets is a woe. The judgments of the first four trumpets fell upon the natural world. The judgments of the last three will be especially terrible because they will strike directly the rebellious inhabitants of the earth themselves.
Yeah, it's an interesting study. Thought-provoking. But one last thought. Another writer, whoever who writes in the Alabama Baptist, they have different ones. He made a point. He said, but it shouldn't make us proud or boastful. Instead, it should move us to persevere in our faith and tell others of Jesus, whose blood is going to cover us when it comes. So, Ms. Lee.
It's a hard lesson.
But you know, as you read all those scriptures that it refers to mm-hmm. in other parts of the Bible, doesn't it help you to understand?
Put it all together. Well, it's like, mm-hmm. like you said, the Old Testament prophecies, and then you go to the New Testament, mm-hmm. and
they're not prophecies, they're coming true.
They're revealed.
The New Testament that you can reflect back. So it does, like Job, you know, look what he went through. You can put that in Revelations. You should put Job and then Revelations, because mm-hmm. this is what he went through, and then this is what they're telling us. Not that we have to look forward to, but things that are going to unfold in front of us. If you know that, to see not that job, but now how Job did what he did.
It's encouraging to look how Job came out on top.
Right. Yeah. In the end.
He did so good.
Had more than he had.
Let's remember Fee, her surgery, Tuesday.
Does anybody
have anything else? Thank you so much,
Oliver. Yes, ma'am. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.